My attention was drawn today to an old, old song. It was an old song that has timeless truths in it, timeless meanings in it. Have you ever come across an old book that, as you opened and started reading it, you found that it could have been written last week? Have you ever come across something like that? The truth. There's a book that I gave to my sons from J.C. Ryle called Thoughts for Young Men. And as I read through that book, the things that it teaches are so important for young men to grasp even today. And anyway, this song, which I'm really having trouble getting to right now on this little machine, because I'm used to working with paper, and I didn't have paper, so I'm really kind of stuck here. Maybe one of my sons can help me with this. I apologize for this. But there's a song. I'll start telling you about the song. The song is called I Take, He Undertakes. I don't need that. I need this. I need you to help me get this going. I need to get on the Wi-Fi because I lost my page. So if you can get onto the Wi-Fi in the office here, thank you. I Take, He Undertakes is the name of the song. Undertakes. What's that? The Undertaker? Well, no. It's kind of an old word, old language. This is, like I said, it's an old song. And yet, when we think of the Lord undertaking, you know, that term used to be more widely used in church and Pentecostal circles. How the Lord undertakes. And I read the definition of that word online, of course, that I can't get to now. And that word spoke of not just doing something like, okay, maybe I'll do this for you, maybe, but it spoke of, are we on now? Good, thanks. It speaks of a real commitment to doing something. Here we go. The meanings of undertake. To take upon oneself as a task, performance, etc., to attempt something, to promise, agree, to obligate oneself to something. So how you use this word depends on what comes after it, these different meanings, the effect, the thought that comes through there. To obligate oneself, to warrant or guarantee something. It's another use of the word undertake. To take in charge, to assume the duty of attending to. So this speaks of real commitment to something. So in other words, when you apply this to God, you could say that He makes it His personal responsibility to make it happen. That's what it means when the Lord undertakes. And so that's what is spoken of in this little song. And the first verse of the song, this seems to apply to some of the things that we've already talked about tonight. I clasp the hand of love divine, I claim the gracious promise mine, and this eternal countersign I take, He undertakes. I clasp that hand of love divine. The Lord loves us. It's so important that we remember that, and it's so easy for us to forget that sometimes, you know. He loves us. He's loved us with an everlasting love, we read about in Jeremiah 31. He's drawn us to Himself. He's done it all because He loves us, and we need to really get a hold of that. He cares for us. He cares about the things that are important to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read there about casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so He has made full provision for us, everything that we need, because He loves us and because He cares for us. Also in 1 Peter, we read there in the first chapter that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Everything that we need for life and godliness, that covers it all. His great and precious promises. He's given us His Word. It's full of the promises of God, of His provision for us. Everything that we need. And the second verse talks of salvation. I take salvation full and free through Him who gave His life for me. He undertakes my all to be. I take, He undertakes. He's provided that salvation for us. Nothing that we can boast in ourselves, as we read in Ephesians there, that we're saved by grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. What a wonderful salvation he's provided for us. Salvation from the guilt of past sin. Present cleansing and grace for victorious Christian living today. Deliverance from the power of sin over our lives. Hallelujah. Healing for body, soul, and spirit. So many people around us are living broken lives. They may look fine on the outside, but they're living broken lives because of what's going on in the inside, how their lives are just wrecked by sin. And God is a solution for that. Yes. And so I'm so thankful that he's brought us into that, and he wants us to share that with the world. And it says that in this song, he undertakes my all to be. As we're saved, as we're brought into that salvation experience, he must be all. He must be Lord if he is Savior. You can't separate those things. The New Testament is full of references to Jesus as our Lord, the Lord Jesus. We're not really given the option anywhere in Scripture to accept him as Savior now, and maybe sometime later he can be Lord. Now, of course, submission to his Lordship is a growing experience, and we grow in that day by day as we walk with him. But we have to recognize him as Lord. He is Savior and Lord. And the third verse goes on now. I take him as my holiness, my spirit's spotless heavenly dress. I take the Lord my righteousness. I take, he undertakes. Holiness, righteousness, aren't those things that we're supposed to try to, you know, grind out in our lives and live up to? He works that in us as we yield to him, as we cooperate with him. In 1 Corinthians we read, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's an important aspect of our personal walk with God that we need to get a hold of. Our sanctification develops out of a growing relationship with Jesus himself. He is made to us sanctification. I can't sanctify you, and you can't sanctify me. We can and we should encourage one another in the Lord, encourage one another toward biblical holiness, both by our words and by our example. But each of us needs that personal connection with Jesus ourselves that causes us to grow in that experience of sanctification. Jesus is able himself to sanctify us and make us holy. In 2 Thessalonians, we read, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Verse 4. I'm almost done. I take the promised Holy Ghost, I take the power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes. He has promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Acts chapter 2. Repent and believe the gospel. Come, and you will be filled. The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. The promise of that Holy Spirit. And a prayerful reading of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 will show us how God desires to use those that he's filled with his Spirit to build up the church through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Yes. Chapter 13 is right in the middle of that sandwich there and speaks of love. It speaks of the importance of love in the midst of the gifts, of everything else. People have taken that to things in that chapter to mean that the rest of the gifts are not going to be forever. They're not going to be around after the Bible is completed or something like that. But we know that those gifts are for us today, that God has put them in the Word for us. That's why they're there. That's why so much ink was devoted in the New Testament to telling us about the gifts and the operation and the services. Because God wants to work in his people. He wants to edify the church through the operation of those gifts. And in the 14th chapter that we read, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Don't be afraid to accept, to take those gifts, to take largely, to expect God to work in our day. God wants to work. God wants to renew lights that are growing dim. We look back, we remember the powerful manifestations of the presence of God in our midst and how wonderful those times were. But let's believe God to pour out fresh oil today. Yes. That's what God wants to do. I believe that. Yes. We must submit to God. We must repent of our unbelief. We must pray and believe and say, Lord, do it again.
Yeah.
Not simply to duplicate what he's done before, but to have his way in our midst today, to work in us today by his Spirit. God is not just a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a God of the past. He's a God of today. He's a God for the future. We sang that song this morning. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. His word hasn't changed. His agenda hasn't changed. It's very interesting to me that song that the girl sang this morning. I don't get exposed to a lot of new songs, but that's one that I have heard before, and I really like that song. It was so nice. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. That's not a new concept. It's a new song, maybe, but it's not a new concept. God's been working on that for many years, and each generation has to come to that point where they say, Lord, I want you. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Come to me. I'm so thankful to hear that our young people are calling on God in this first period. How they've been seeking the Lord. That's so wonderful to hear. And God will answer that prayer. The clouds of the heavens are thick. They're heavy. They're waiting to burst. God is waiting to move. We have to believe and take faith that he's going to do that. Yes. And like I was saying, that's this generation's song. And you know, as I heard that song, I was thinking of how there's a song that's very similar in its message that came from way back at the near the beginnings, I believe, of 20th century Pentecost. The reason I think it's that old is because I've heard George Beverly Shea sing it on a recording of old songs, and I remember Brother Edwin telling us about that song of how the young people, I think his wife Edith and the young people that she was with many years ago, obviously, that they would gather around each other and pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon that person, and they would sing this song: Welcome, 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 Holy Ghost, we welcome you. Come in power and fill this temple. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. And it's so similar, right? And it's message. But that was sung many, many years ago. So every generation needs to find God, to find that experience of knowing him, of being filled with his Spirit. Let's open our hearts to that. Let's believe God. And finally, I take him for this mortal frame. I take my healing through his name. And all his risen life I claim. I take, he undertakes. We read about that in Scripture, how he wants to heal. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Surely he has taken our infirmities and carried our sorrows. In James chapter 5, you read about the prayer of faith that will save the sick. God is able to bring healing. He wants to do that in our midst. And we think of healing for our physical needs, and that's wonderful, and that's something that God wants to do. But he also wants to give spiritual healing, emotional healing, healing in relationships. God's agenda for healing is much bigger than we can understand in our finite minds. Sometimes we pray and we don't see the results as quickly as we would like to, perhaps, and that's when we trust in him. We know that he's working and that he's doing something, and that there's a process that we go through as he's teaching us things, as he's working things out in us, as he's bringing that victory. And in his time, he will bring the victory. He will come in power. He will heal. Let's keep on believing. Hold fast to his word. Healing is related to what God's Holy Spirit is doing in the church. In Romans chapter 8, we read there, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit who dwells in you. He is our life-giving portion. And this song finally wraps up here. I simply take him at his word. I praise him that my prayer is heard and claim my answer from the Lord. So let's go on believing. He is at work. In every joy and trial that we come through, he's always working. We can claim life from him moment by moment. I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I have life from above, looking to Jesus till glory does shine. Moment by moment, oh Lord, I'm thine. I'm sorry I've taken so much time, but let me just quickly sing this song now. It's a long song, so we'll combine the second and third verses, and then one chorus after that, and the same with 4 and 5. I clasp the hand of love divine, I claim the gracious promise mine, and this eternal countersign I take, he undertakes. I take thee, blessed Lord, I give myself to thee, and thou according to thy word dost undertake for me. I take salvation full and free through him who gave his life for me. He undertakes my all to be. I take, he undertakes. I take him as my holiness, my spirit's spotless heavenly dress. I take the Lord my righteousness. I take, he undertakes. I take thee, blessed Lord. I give myself to thee, and thou according to thy word dost undertake for me. I take the promised Holy Ghost. I take the power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes. I take him for this mortal frame. I take my healing through his name, and all his risen life I claim. I take, he undertakes. I take thee, blessed Lord. I give myself to thee, and thou according to thy word dost undertake for me. I simply take him at his word. I praise him that my prayer is heard, and claim my answer from the Lord. I take, he undertakes. Sing the chorus with me if you know it. I take thee, blessed Lord. I give myself to thee, and thou according to thy word dost undertake for me.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Number 41 in the White Camp Hymnal. Let's stand as we sing.
bless your name, dear Jesus. Glory to your name. Bless the Lord. You may be seated.